Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're going way, way back to explore some early Christian texts through the lens of Dr. Mathewson's lecture notes on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and 1st Timothy.
Sounds fascinating.
It is. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things, from, you know, end times prophecies to early church leadership, and we'll even get a little peek into ancient Ephesian fashion.
Looking forward to that.
So let's start with 1 Thessalonians. Mathewson kind of describes this letter as a pep talk for early Christians, reminding them that Jesus could literally return, like, at any moment.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he even tells this story about a radio preacher back in the 90s who was so convinced the end was near that he told his listeners to empty their bank accounts.
Oh, my goodness. That's a bit extreme, isn't it? It's interesting how the idea of the day of the Lord, you know, the day of judgment and the return of Christ has captivated and sometimes even misled people throughout history.
Yeah, I mean, misinterpretations of prophecy have led to all sorts of strange behaviors, haven't they?
Some pretty unusual ones.
So moving on to 2 Thessalonians, it seems like Paul had to do some clarifying about that very topic, right?
Yeah, it seems some of the Thessalonians actually believed that the day of the Lord was already happening.
Oh, wow.
So Paul had to step in and say, whoa, whoa, wait a second, not so fast. And he reminds them that certain events need to happen first.
Oh.
But here's the interesting thing. He doesn't specifically list those events. It's almost as if he's assuming they already know what he's talking about.
So he was probably referencing something he had taught them in person.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Which is kind of frustrating for us modern readers.
Yeah, but it does show how Paul really tailored his letters to these specific communities that he was writing to.
Exactly. They weren't meant to be like standalone theological textbooks or anything.
Right, they were personal communications.
Exactly. Addressing the specific questions and issues that were popping up in these early churches, it's a really cool glimpse into the dynamics of those early communities and how they wrestled with their faith.
It really makes me think about that tension between urgency and patience that we see in the Christian life. You know, on the one hand, we're called to live as if Jesus could return, like today. But then on the other hand, we're also called to live responsibly,
mm-hmm.
you know, work for justice and build up the church in the meantime.
It's a delicate balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes me think of that parable about the talents, you know? We're given gifts and resources, and we're supposed to use them wisely while we wait for our master to return. It's not about just sitting around doing nothing. We're called to be active.
To engage with the world around us.
Exactly.
Okay, so before we jump into 1 Timothy, we have to address the big question, the authorship question. Did Paul actually write this letter?
Yes. The million-dollar question.
Or was it someone else?
That's a question scholars have debated for centuries, and there's no easy answer.
Right.
Dr. Mathewson presents a really balanced perspective, outlining the arguments for and against Pauline authorship.
So Mathewson points out that the writing style in 1 Timothy, it does seem different from Paul's other letters.
Hmm.
The language is a bit more formal, and there's a greater emphasis on church structure and proper behavior and things like that.
Right. And some scholars point to those differences, and they say, aha, this must have been written by a later author. Maybe one of Paul's disciples who was trying to give the letter more authority.
Oh, so writing in his name.
Exactly. And this wasn't considered dishonest back then. In fact, it was a pretty common way to honor a respected teacher and kind of continue their legacy.
It's so interesting how our views on authorship have changed over time.
Yeah.
You know, we place such a high value on originality and, you know, individual voice.
Right. But in the ancient world, it was more about preserving tradition and carrying on the teachings of those who came before you.
That's a really good point. Okay, so another thing Mathewson points out is that there are some theological shifts in 1 Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's less emphasis on justification by faith. You know, that core idea that we're made right with God through faith in Jesus, not through our own works, and more focus on good works and proper conduct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's important to remember that Paul's letters, they often address different issues and different audiences. So he might be emphasizing certain things depending on the context, you know.
Right. What these specific churches needed to hear.
Exactly. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he's completely abandoned his earlier beliefs.
And plus, even in Paul's undisputed letters, he's always urging believers to live lives worthy of their calling, you know, to show their faith through their actions.
Exactly.
So the emphasis on good works in 1 Timothy, it's not completely out of character for Paul.
Not at all. It might just reflect the changing needs of the church as it grew and matured.
Right. It's like they were trying to figure out how to live out their faith in this really complex world.
Yeah. Navigating uncharted territory.
So taking all this into account, do you think Paul wrote 1 Timothy?
You know, I hesitate to give a definitive answer.
Okay.
The evidence is complex and it's open to interpretation. What's really important is that we engage with the text thoughtfully and critically, understanding the historical context and all the different viewpoints.
I really like that approach. It's not about finding the easy answers, but about wrestling with these questions in a way that really deepens our understanding.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's assume for a minute that Paul did write this letter. Matthewson suggests that he wrote it to Timothy, who was his close associate and who was leading the church in Ephesus. And apparently things were not going so smoothly in Ephesus.
Oh, not exactly a vacation spot for Timothy.
No. Matthewson emphasizes that this letter, it's more than just a manual for, you know, church organization.
Yeah.
It's like Paul is giving Timothy this urgent plea to combat false teaching that was spreading within the church.
It's like Paul is giving Timothy a toolkit to deal with these problems.
A spiritual toolkit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it shows just how urgent Paul's message really was. He wasn't just concerned with theoretical debates, you know? He was worried about the real-world consequences of this false teaching.
Right.
You know, how it could impact the faith and unity of the church.
And at one point, Paul even urges Timothy to instruct certain people not to teach any different doctrine. It's kind of mysterious because we don't know exactly what this false teaching was. But it's clear that Paul saw it as a serious threat.
A huge threat.
Yeah. And the letter itself gives us a few clues.
Yeah.
Paul mentions myths and endless genealogies that were distracting people from the core message of the gospel.
Hmm.
So maybe these were elaborate origin stories or, you know, philosophical speculations that were popular at the time.
Right. Maybe some people were trying to blend these ideas with Christian beliefs and creating this distorted version of the faith.
It's kind of like how we grapple with misinformation and competing narratives today.
Yeah.
It's always a challenge to know what to believe.
Absolutely. I mean, we're bombarded with messages from all sides.
We are.
It's information overload, and it can be really tough to discern the truth from the lies.
Just like Timothy. We need that discernment and wisdom to navigate it all. So Matthewson outlines how each section of 1 Timothy can be seen as a tool for combating this false teaching. He talks about worship leadership qualifications, ethical conduct, and it's interesting how Paul connects these practical matters to this larger battle for the integrity of the faith.
He's saying that sound doctrine isn't just some abstract idea. You know, it has to be lived out.
It has to affect how we live our lives.
Exactly. In every aspect of our lives, from how we worship to how we lead to how we interact with each other.
Okay, so speaking of practical matters, there is one passage in 1 Timothy that often raises some eyebrows. The instructions about women's appearance and roles in the church.
Ah, yes. This is where things get really interesting.
Paul gets really specific, saying women shouldn't adorn themselves with gold pearls or braided hair. And he also makes some statements about women learning in quietness and submission, which, as you can imagine, has caused a lot of debate and controversy over the years.
Definitely. And it's crucial that we approach this passage with sensitivity and a willingness to understand the historical and cultural context.
Right. We can't just impose our modern values onto these ancient texts.
We can't.
So this is where Matthewson's theory about the new Roman woman comes in. He suggests that Paul's instructions were addressing a specific cultural phenomenon that was challenging traditional gender roles in Roman society.
Right, the new Roman woman. This was a figure who emerged in the first century, often from wealthy and influential families. She had more freedom and autonomy than traditional Roman women, and she wasn't afraid to push the boundaries.
So imagine you have these women in Ephesus flaunting their wealth and independence, maybe even disrupting the social order.
Yeah, and Matthewson theorizes that this new cultural trend was creating tension within the church.
Oh, I see.
You know, some people might have seen it as a threat to traditional values and order.
Wow. It's amazing to think they were arguing about gender roles back then, just like we do today.
Oh, yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
Mm. It seems like Paul was trying to navigate this really tricky situation, trying to balance the freedom of the gospel with the need for order and unity within the church.
Yeah, a delicate balance indeed.
It sounds like Paul was addressing a very specific situation there in Ephesus. But does that mean these instructions about women are only relevant to that time and place? Or are they like timeless principles that apply to all women in all churches?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that has divided Christians for centuries. Matthewson doesn't really give a definitive answer, but he does lay out the different perspectives on this very complex issue.
It's definitely something we need to wrestle with, you know, thoughtfully and prayerfully, considering the historical context, the overall message of Scripture, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
I agree. It's not about, you know, finding easy answers or proof texts to support our own preconceived notions. It's about approaching the text with humility and an open mind, seeking to understand God's will for us today.
Well, this deep dive into 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and 1st Timothy has definitely given us a lot to think about. We've explored end times, anxieties, debated authorship, and even gotten a glimpse into ancient fashion controversies.
It's fascinating how these letters written almost 2,000 years ago still speak to the questions and struggles we face today. You know, they remind us that the early church faced many of the same challenges we do, like discerning truth from falsehood, navigating cultural shifts, and figuring out how to live out their faith in a complex world.
What stands out to you the most from all of this?
I think for me, it's the realization that interpreting scripture is a journey. It's not a destination. It requires careful study, humility, and a willingness to listen to different perspectives. And sometimes it means, you know, sitting with the tension of unanswered questions.
I appreciate that. It's not about having all the answers, but about engaging in that process of seeking truth together.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that we're not alone in this journey. We have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the church throughout history, and the support of our fellow believers.
Okay, so we've explored the big themes, the controversies, the historical context. But what does it all mean for us today? What are some practical takeaways from these letters?
Well, one key takeaway is the importance of discernment, especially in our information-saturated world. You know, just like the Thessalonians were grappling with these end times anxieties, we're constantly bombarded with messages and predictions that can lead to fear, confusion, and even harmful actions.
Right. It's like we have our own version of that radio preacher telling us to cash in our savings because the world is ending.
Right.
We need to be wise and discerning.
We do.
Right.
You know, evaluating information carefully and not just getting swept up in the hype or the fear mongering.
Right. And when it comes to 1 Timothy, how do we apply Paul's instructions about church leadership and conduct to our own context, especially those passages about women's roles, which can be so controversial?
That's a tough one. I think it starts with humility and a willingness to listen to different perspectives. You know, we need to recognize that sincere Christians can hold differing views on these issues, and we should approach these conversations with respect and grace, right? It's okay to acknowledge that there isn't always a clear-cut black and white answer. Maybe the key is to focus on those underlying principles of love, unity, and faithfulness to the gospel.
I think that's a wise approach. Uh-huh. Ultimately, our goal should be to build up the body of Christ, to live out the truth of the gospel in love and unity, and to honor God in all that we do.
I love that. And maybe part of honoring God is recognizing that we don't have all the answers, and that's okay. We're all on this journey of faith, seeking to understand God's will and live it out in our own time and place.
Beautifully said. It's a journey we take together, learning from one another and always open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Speaking of journeys, Mathewson leaves us with this one final thought-provoking question. He asks, are Paul's instructions in 1 Timothy chapter 2, especially those concerning women, binding for today? Or are they more cultural and limited to that specific time and place?
It's a question that challenges us to wrestle with, you know, the complexities of interpreting scripture and applying it to our lives. There's not an easy answer, but it's definitely a question worth pondering. It's like he's saying, hey, I've given you the pieces. Now you figure out how they fit together in your own context.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of engaging with scripture. It's a living word that continues to speak to us across time and cultures, you know, challenging us to grow, to learn, and to become more like Christ.
Yeah, it's like he's encouraging us to keep having that conversation, you know, to grapple with these questions in our own communities and come to our own conclusions.
Right. And I think that's a really crucial part of faith. You know, it's not about blindly accepting someone else's interpretation. It's about engaging with the scripture ourselves, wrestling with the text, seeking understanding through prayer and dialogue.
Absolutely. And this deep dive has certainly given us a lot to chew on. We've journeyed through anxieties about the end times, debated the mysteries of authorship, and even peeked into the wardrobes of ancient Ephesus.
And we've seen how Paul addressed those specific challenges of his time, but we've also discovered these timeless truths that still resonate with us today.
It strikes me that the questions raised by these letters, like, you know, that tension between living with urgency and living with patience, or the challenges of discerning truth in a world full of competing ideas, those are questions we still wrestle with in our own lives.
It's a testament to the enduring power of Scripture, isn't it? These texts written centuries ago still have the power to speak to us, to challenge us, and to guide us on our own journeys of faith.
So for all of you deep divers out there, we'd love to hear your thoughts. What resonated with you from our exploration of 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy? What questions are you still wrestling with?
Share your reflections, your insights, and your own deep dives into these fascinating letters.
And remember, this is just the beginning. There's so much more to discover in the world of early Christianity.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the rich tapestry of Scripture.
Until next time, happy diving.